Today is typically our day that we look at the Passion and Palm story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and compare and contrast. But today, we're going to roll it back and look at the communion meal, the establishment of the communion meal, at the Passover meal beginning of that week. So our text today is just going to be biblical text. It's a little bit longer of a reading. I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapters 22, verses 7 through 21, and this is from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear now these words. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So, Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go, prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered into the city, a man carrying a jug of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of that house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour had come, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks over it, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table."
Thank you.
let you know, it looks like one of our amplifiers is out. So that if you're not hearing us as well, our mics are actually on. It's just that there's been a problem with one of the units back there that we're going to have looked at. So I will try to remember to speak up, to project a little bit. I used to do theater, so I should be able to do this. Like I said, today we're going to talk about communion, and my message is entitled A Place at the Table. So communion. Communion is a problem, and it has been for a long time. As a recent National Geographic article reminds us, on July 16, 1054, Patriarch of Constantinople, Michael Ceruleus, was excommunicated from the Christian church based in Rome, Italy. Ceruleus's excommunication was a breaking point in a long tension between the Roman church based in Rome and the Byzantine church based in Constantinople, now known as Istanbul. The resulting split divided them, and it resulted in the European Christian church being broken into two branches, the Western Roman Catholic Church and then, of course, the Eastern Orthodox Church. The split's known as the Great Schism, or sometimes the East-West Schism, or sometimes the Schism of 1054. Now, this Great Schism that divided the church came about due to a somewhat complex mix of religious disagreements and political conflicts. But one of the many disagreements, one of the larger ones between the Western Roman and the Eastern Byzantine branches of the church had to do with whether or not it was acceptable to use unleavened bread for the sacrament of communion. That's right, folks. The world now has the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church in part because they couldn't agree on the question of yeast. What communion looks like, how it's practiced, who can have it, have been ongoing debates in denominations probably ever since it was instituted. And not just denominations either. Before anyone gets to rolling their eyes and how ridiculous it is that divides happen over communion, you should know that almost every time we have communion here, as well as at all the other churches that I've ever served at, somebody is going to complain about something about communion. Honestly, I have to say, I can understand it a little bit. I mean, in the Presbyterian Church, communion is one of our two sacraments. And in the Catholic Church, it's one of seven, and look at how much trouble it's caused over there. So, I get how it can become so important to people that they may get overly concerned about what communion looks like, how it's practiced, who can have it, and so on. It was given to us by Jesus himself. So yeah, it's important to get it right. The thing is, I submit to you that the things we get worked up over most of the time are not actually the things that are important to get right. As we heard in our reading today, Jesus was actually celebrating Passover on the night that he spoke the words that we now use in communion. It was something that he had probably been doing with his family, with disciples, with other folks, his entire life. The meal is a commemoration of the exodus of the Jewish people from slavery into freedom. It's strange to me that so many denominations and even individual members of churches have become so enslaved to certain ideals about how the meal is put together and served. It's supposed to be about freeing us. When I look at the life and the teachings of Jesus, I have to believe that that particular Passover meal wasn't the only meal that he had considered communion. See, it seems to me that every meal that he had with others was communion to him. At the Last Supper, as the story is told, he seemed to know that this might be the last significant meal that he would have with many of the people that he was closest to. And so he asked them. He asked them to allow these meals together to be moments that they could use to remember him. Other than that, I have to believe that this meal was communion in much the same way his other meals had been communion to him. And I say meals, and not simply the bread and wine, because the earliest church practiced it as a meal. How that meal is put together, how it's served, it's not important. Just like how modern communion is put together and served, it's not important. At least not in terms of rules and regulations and the like. No matter what any denomination or any theologian tells you, that is not ultimately what the meal is about. It is not about the elements. Thus, how they're put together and how they're served is not the important part. What matters is the action of doing it. What matters is the coming together around the table and sharing what is there in common. Even the word we have come to use the most commonly to speak of the meal, it points to that reality. Communion comes from the Latin communio, which means sharing in common. What is important in the meal is not the elements. What is important is sharing in common what is at the table. At the Last Supper, Jesus included Judas. Again, as the story is told, not only would Judas betray Jesus, but Jesus seemed to know that he would betray him. And in part, this was Jesus' last significant meal with many of the people he was closest to because of the coming actions of one of the very people he chose to include at that table. This meal of communion is a meal of inclusion. What is important in the meal is not the elements. What is important is sharing in common what is at the table and the inclusion of all of those who wish to participate. It's why it breaks my heart when I hear of denominations disallowing people from partaking in it. They have missed the point. When they disallow certain people at the table, they are choosing to disavow the teachings of the man who instituted the meal itself. What I'm saying is that what is on the table is significantly less important than who is at the table. And if you do not include folks completely and inclusively, you have missed not only the point of the meal, but also the life and teachings of Jesus. As I said at the beginning of this message, communion is a problem and has been for a long time. But not if you focus on what really matters about it. Today, when we gather around this table, please note that the table is round. We arrive as equals. No one stands at the head of the table. But there was a time when we would share a cup of juice or wine. Today, because of how COVID has changed the world, we'll be served in individual glasses. Not only that, today, there's no wine. There's not even any plain grape juice. We're actually going to be having cran grape juice. And the bread, it's leavened, unleavened, it doesn't matter. Even though that we used to pull it off of the loaf together because of COVID and how it has changed the world. We're going to have individual pieces. Here's the thing, though, and I don't know if you may have heard this before, but what is on the table is significantly less important than who is at the table. What will matter at this table is that we are there together as equals. No one greater than the other. We will serve each other and commune at the table together. This is a table of community, of communion, of inclusion, and of equality. As most of you know, we are in the process of selling our building, and part of the agreement will be that we get to continue to gather here in this space on Sundays. And it's very likely that this room will look quite a bit different, or at least some. The floors will probably be level, and it's unlikely that there will be as many pews in here, other than maybe a few, just as a memory of the history of the space. One of the things that I'm excited about is how that opens us up to new possibilities of how we share community. The space will probably be much more flexible. So I imagine us gathering around tables once a month for a service that is itself in full and in total an experience of communion as we have a meal together, serving each other, sharing our experiences and our knowledge and our questions with each other as we look at themes of spirituality that can grow us as individuals and as a community. So, when we come to this table together today, don't get caught up with what is on the table. How they are put together and served is not the important part. What matters is the action of doing it. What matters is the coming together around the table and sharing what is there in common with one another. What matters is the community that is doing it and the sense of community in which it is done. What matters is that there will always be a place at the table for everyone. Thank you.
Gilday. She's a Canadian artist. She's from the Dene Nation, which is a native tribe that is indigenous to the northwestern parts of Canada. I don't think I have a microphone.
I don't think it is.
So, yeah. All right. Phone notes are hard to get loud, though.
And then when I invite everyone forward, those who remain in their seats will sing the hymn. And then when you return to your seat, you can join in singing along as well. So just be prepared for that. Now the invitation to the table. Come, you weary and wet restless. Come, all who hunger and thirst. Jesus called us to dine as friends. Jesus called us to dine as equals. Come, God's feast of welcome awaits us all. Let us bow our heads. We give thanks. We give thanks for creation. The diversity of our planet amazes us. We give thanks for the multiplicity of humanity with our complexity of color and culture, yet called into oneness of being in love. A love that surrounds us just as it did our spiritual ancestors. We give thanks for the love shown to us in the person and teachings of Jesus. We give thanks for the love which reassures and reconciles us to ourselves and to one another. May the nourishment of this table strengthen us to share that love in this community and around the world. Amen. Jesus, as he shared the Passover meal with his disciples on the night that he would be arrested, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, after they had eaten, he took the cup and he poured it out, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And each time we eat this bread and we drink this wine, we proclaim the salvific life and teachings of Jesus the Christ. And we are nourished to bring that life and teachings to this world through this table. Please, I'm going to invite you to come forward as you are ready. What we will do is get as many people around the table as we can. And if you don't quite fit, feel free to stay in line or stay at your seat. When you arrive, I'll give you very simple instructions on how we will serve each other. So please, come as you are ready and join in singing the hymn as well. Thank you. For the loving kindness experienced here at this table and here in this community. May the blessings of this table strengthen us for the journey, increase our generosity, and unify our hearts. We take pause and remember those who sometimes struggle to get a place at the table. We remember those in war-torn nations, for those who have lost family, been injured, suffered from post-war effects. May we be ever mindful of their struggle and work towards ending those struggles. We remember those who don't have access to clean water or enough food. The abundance of our own tables reminds us that there is enough for everyone. May we become ever better at sharing and distributing the abundance of this world. And may we be ever better at sharing the abundance of love with all those we meet. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.